Good morning. We are so glad that you can join us today. We're going to enter a time of confession and now follow up with a congregation prayer. Dear Father, you are merciful and gracious, abounding in love. You have created us as your image bearers. Each person is precious, precious in your eyes, regardless of our race or the country we come from. You are always patient with us, and you do not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You are like the father of the prodigal son, waiting for your rebellious children to come home. You save us to be like Jesus. Love our Heavenly Father and love our neighbors, our fellow image bearers. As we have been blessed through your Son, help us to become a blessing to others. A neighbor sees a need, has compassion, and acts on it. Christ is the true neighbor. He came down from heaven to dwell among us, to identify with us and our suffering. He cares about those who are hungry, thirsty, sick, or are in prison. He wants to set free those who are in slavery or in the bondage of sin. He said that, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." So Father, we confess that we did not love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But we pray that the Holy Spirit will empower us to follow the example of Christ as we respond to your deep love and the needs around us. May the life of Christ grow in us as we abide in your love. And may the church be the neighbor to those in need in our communities or even in neighborhoods far from us, so that people may experience the love of Christ through us during their real life struggles. Today is Father's Day, and we pray for our fathers in our church to be true spiritual leaders and also to continue to provide and to protect our families, as our Father provides for us and watches over us. As some may be preparing Father's Day's gifts for our earthly fathers, we know what our Heavenly Father truly wants. He wants us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with Him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. I'd like to invite you to stand and read God's word together. We'll use the ESV version. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. "And behold, a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and he bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I return, when I come back. So which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said to him, you go and do likewise. This is the reading of God's word. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of my sermon today is, Who is My Neighbor? Now, before I get to my sermon today, we know that today is Father's Day. So I would like to first honor all the fathers among us, in the church families, and among our friends. Now, many of you really work hard to provide and protect for our families. Many also try to be spiritual leaders in our homes. Despite perhaps some challenges, failures, frustrations, and discouragements that many of us share. But the Lord remembers your efforts. We are all learning to rely on God's grace, not our own strength, to play this important role. Now, we fathers all know that the Mother's Day is a much bigger deal than the Father's Day. I don't know if some fathers are jealous about that, but I saw a report that the highest number of calls made during any given year is typically the Mother's Day. But how about Father's Day? On Father's Day is the highest number of collect calls. I don't know if you guys know what collect calls are. The collect calls when the fathers had to pay for the charges to receive the calls from their children. So there's a different treatment there. But I want to tell you, the fact is that a lot of mothers really take care of the daily needs of the children. So they know a lot about children. So today I want to give the fathers a quiz to see how good you know your children. Okay, so this is a quiz. What is your child's shoe size? What is your child's shoe size? I want to give all the fathers 20 seconds to think about this. Now, if you don't know the answer, ask the mom. Typically, all the moms know this answer. So we fathers sometimes have a lot to catch up with, need to learn more. And I still remember that when my daughter was still young, one day my wife called me in the office and said, oh, please go pick up Crystal, okay, my daughter. And I was busy in the office, but because she was not available, I left the office, I went to the school. I went to the office, I said, I want to pick up my daughter, Crystal. And they said, She has already graduated. She's not in this school anymore. And that was the Eisenhower School, intermediate school. And then I realized, oh, yes, she's already in middle school. So I should have gone to the Bridgewater Middle School. So my wife could not stop laughing after she heard what happened. Sometimes, you know, fathers are a little bit clueless. So our earthly fathers are not always perfect, but we have a perfect Heavenly Father who cares about the needs of His image bearers and how they respond to the needs of others. On this Father's Day, if you want to give our Heavenly Father a gift, what do you think would truly please Him? And this brings us to today's passage from Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. And the main idea for the passage today is, neighbors see, they feel, and they act. Or you can say that they see a need, they feel a compassion, they have compassion for the person in need, and they will act on it. We respond as neighbors to those in need with the life of Christ as we abide in His love. So we're going to unpack in today's sermon what it means to be a neighbor, what it means to have the life of Christ, what it means to abide in His love. I have three divisions. The first one is from verses 25 to 29. Here we really want to look at the response from a lawyer to Jesus. When Jesus said, love your neighbor from the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself, he tried to find out, who is my neighbor? And the second division is, who is the neighbor? And we saw from the Samaritan, a neighbor sees a need, has compassion, and acts accordingly. And the third division is really a challenge to our church as we answer God's calling. To whom can I be a neighbor? Be a neighbor with the life of Christ as we abide in His love. So let's get into the first part. Who is my neighbor? As I mentioned in my last sermon, from Luke chapter 9 to 19, Jesus was focusing more on discipleship. He was preparing His disciples for His departure. He wanted to spend more time with His disciples instead of with the crowds. In today's passage, He's going to focus on what it truly means to love your neighbor. The passage started with a lawyer coming to challenge Jesus. And he asked Jesus, how can I inherit eternal life? Now, a lawyer, who is familiar with the Jewish laws, someone who is familiar with the laws, and someone who wanted to justify himself based on what he does. In other words, he was looking for the requirements to meet in order to receive eternal life. Well, Jesus knows how to turn the abstract theological idea into some real-life questions. And we're going to see how he changed both the question and the answer. So the fact that the lawyer is asking this question is actually puzzling, because a lawyer is supposed to be familiar with the laws, and the answers were there. So Jesus first asked him, what is written in the law? How do you read it? Indeed, the lawyer knew the answers. And the first part of his answer, love your God, is quoted from Deuteronomy 6:5. And this is part of Shema. Shema is a set of passages that a Jew recited daily in their confession of faith. So can we bring up that passage? Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. So he's very familiar with this. So that's the first one. Love your God. The second part he quoted from Leviticus 19:18. Can we bring up a passage? Yes. You shall not take vengeance or bear grudge against the sons of your own people, but you should love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So this is how Jesus summarized the key teachings of the entire Old Testament in his great commandment. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Very simple. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And this is also recorded in Matthew 22, 36 to 40. But here's the tension. If you ask ourselves, it's very hard to meet this requirement from the law. So the lawyer knew that, and so he asked a follow-up question. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And the idea here is that if I can reduce the scope of my neighbors, maybe I have some chance of meeting the requirement. And he probably thought, certainly I do not need to consider those Gentiles, right? Especially Samaritans. They are considered mixed blood, all impure because of the intermarriage between the Jews and Gentiles in that area. So in the mind of this lawyer, he was trying to reduce the scope so that he would be able to meet the requirement. So with that background in mind, now let's look at the story of the Good Samaritan. And this story that Jesus told was really brilliant because it really revealed the blind spot of that Jewish lawyer. So we go to the second section, division. Who is the neighbor? Who is the neighbor? And we're going to learn that from this Samaritan. So Jesus mentioned a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now this path is about 17 miles. It's considered at that time a hazardous road, well known for potential dangers to travelers. Now in today's context, it would be like walking in the dark valley in the inner city in the middle of night. And to the robbers, this person who was walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho was an obvious target. He was just a victim to the robbers. And someone that can be exploited. So they strip him, they beat him, and they leave him half naked. Then a priest appeared. So the victim probably thought, finally, someone can save me. But the priest passed by to the other side. Perhaps he was busy, you know, getting to somewhere and time was of essence. Perhaps he was very tired of a day's work in the temple, long day of ministry. And perhaps he thought that someone might take care of him. Later, take care of the victim later. So just pass by. You know, we're all very good at coming up with excuses when we don't want to help someone. And then came a Levi. But he did the same. And maybe he thought the same way. So I wonder if the person that was beaten was a Jew. And very like a Jew, because at that time, a lot of temple workers went from the Jerusalem to Jericho, just like the priest and the Levi. Unfortunately, to the priest and Levi, who were supposed to, I guess, set good examples, he was just nuisance or inconvenience. They needed to avoid to attend to their own business. So to the robbers, he was just a victim to exploit. To the priest and Levi, he was kind of nuisance that they had to avoid. Then came the Samaritan. Now, this Samaritan actually demonstrated the three steps we learned in the recent Mercy Ministry class, was taught by Pastor James and Art. He sees the victim, he has compassion for the victim, and then he takes actions. Three steps. You see it, you have compassion, and you take actions. Those are three basic steps of any mercy ministry. The Samaritan probably identified with the victim because this could have happened to him as well. And so what did he do? I recorded seven steps this Good Samaritan did. First, he bound up the victim's wounds. He poured out oil and wine on him. He set the victim on his animal. So his animal now is used by the victim. And he himself walked. He took him to an inn. And he didn't stop there. He actually stayed overnight to take care of him. And then, number six, he took out 2 denarii, probably around 2 days' wages. In the morning, I gave them to the innkeeper. And then he promised to repay the innkeeper more if needed. What a comprehensive rescue plan. Well, yes, sometimes it's messy. To get involved means to invest your time, energy, and resources. And this Samaritan did all of this without expecting anything in return. At least I could not tell from the passage. So why would anybody want to do that? And actually, the Bible also teaches that we need to be neighbors to even our enemy and strangers in our land. So first, let us bring up Exodus chapter 23, 4 to 5. Exodus 23, 4 to 5. This is regarding an enemy's ox or donkey. Thank you, every team. It says this: if you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey going astray, you shall bring it back to him. If you see the donkey or one who hates you lying down under its burden, you shall refrain from leaving him with it. You shall rescue it with him. And that's a way to be a neighbor to your enemy. So the requirement is even higher. Now, how about strangers? How do you deal with strangers? Sometimes we think that enemies are not my neighbors. Strangers, I don't know them. They are not my neighbors. But let's read Leviticus 19, 33 to 34. Leviticus 19, 33 to 34. When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Yes, so enemies are included. Strangers are included. Now we need to be honest with us. Who among us can love our neighbor as ourselves, including the enemies and strangers? This brings us to the third point. To whom can I be a neighbor? Now, after telling the lawyer the story, Jesus asked, so which of these three proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? At this point, the lawyer knew the answer, but instead of saying the Good Samaritan, he said, the one who showed him mercy. So why didn't he just say Samaritan? Now you see, even though the Good Samaritan is a very common phrase today, for the Jews at that time, it was almost like an oxymoron. It's like saying an honest liar. They just could not associate Samaritan with the word good. And then Jesus said, you go and do likewise. That's a big, very big challenge for this lawyer. Now, if you were this lawyer, what do you think? Is there any chance of inheriting eternal life anymore? Now, if you look at this story, it's very interesting. If that person was a Jew, He was ignored by his fellow Jews, the priests and the Levite, but he was helped by Samaritan, whom they usually consider to be their enemy. So this is a very big challenge for the lawyer. Is there any chance for him to inherit eternal life? And it's a question for all of us as well. And the blind spot is this. He was trying to meet the requirements by doing whatever is required on him. Well, he's a lawyer through his own flesh. And that's always very exhausting. And he was bound to fail. There is, however, one person who did love God with all his heart, all his strength, all his mind, and love his neighbor as himself. And that's Jesus. In Luke chapter 4 to chapter 9, we saw how Jesus responded to the needs of many. He healed a man with an unclean demon, a leper, a paralytic, and one with a withered hand. In chapter 6, he said, love your enemies. And he fed the 5,000 when he and his disciples were exhausted after a long day of ministry. So he is a true neighbor. But you're going to say, I'm not Jesus. I cannot do that. But the key is not trying to meet the requirements with our own flesh or our own self, but to have the life of Christ. To have the life of Christ. That's the key. Through our repentance and accepting Christ as our Savior, we are now in Christ. And we have inherited eternal life already. You already have the eternal life. But to be true to your identity, the new identity, to be a disciple of Christ, is to continue to abide in Him. Our job is to abide in Christ, and God will make us grow. We're not there yet, but God will make us grow to be more and more like Christ. As the new creation, we have also received the gift of the Holy Spirit to empower us to follow Him. So if we abide in Him and let His life grow in us, our capacity to be a neighbor will naturally grow. Yes, we are not there, but it will grow. Now, I have three, last year during the pandemic, I set up three garden beds in my yard. And I called in Peter, James, and John. Now, why do I call them? Why do you use disciples' names? Because disciples are supposed to bear fruit and multiply. So I call my three garden beds, Peter, James, and John. Now, this is the amazing thing. So I grew tomatoes, right? And the tomato seed is so small. It's probably 1/10 of your fingernail, very small. But as long as I put it in the soil, I have good soil in the garden beds. I water it with sunshine. It will grow to 5 feet tall. It's amazing. It's almost as tall as a person. But it was just a tiny seed. You and me, each one of us, already has that tiny seed in us. As long as we abide in Christ, it's going to grow. You would maybe, through your lifetime, you still cannot be like Jesus. But you take baby steps. As you abide in Him, you continue to grow and grow and grow. And that's what the encouragement for all of us. It depends on the life. It does not depend on what requirements you're trying to meet. Once you have that life, you naturally want to be a neighbor to others. So, as Jesus had this dialogue with the lawyer, he already turned the question around. Instead of asking, who is my neighbor, with the intention to nail down the scope so that the lawyer could meet the requirements. He wants us to focus on being a neighbor to those in need, to change our nature so that we become a person with compassion like Jesus. So you might say, now how do we do that in practice? If you have a burden for certain things, and you saw a need, and you have a burden for that, and you have the resources, the talents and gifts God bestowed on you, then you can take that baby step to grow to be like Jesus, to have that compassion. I want to share a real example. A few weeks ago, an old couple like me and my wife, an old couple in our church, I'm going to call them S and M. They attended their first Hindus outreach in Addison. After meeting those wonderful children in the playground, they began to develop a burden for them. So they kept going back and back. And the sister even said that it's a rescue mission. We need to get involved. And yesterday was the first day in the Addison, this community, that we started the formal children program with regular time, 5:30 to 6:30 every Saturday. And I was not there because I was at a wedding shower. But I saw a video afterwards, and I was really touched by that. The husband was teaching the kids praise song with hand motions, and the kids really followed so well and joyfully. And then later on, the wife taught a short lesson. I want to, this morning, right before the EC service, I received this text from the sister M. I'm going to read this text in verbatim. This is what she said. Thank you, Joyce, for always be so encouraging. As I look back, I recall a wonderful demonstration of teamwork. It's like we were playing football. No one is carrying the ball alone, no matter what role you played. Greeting, singing, sharing the message, art crafting, connecting with parents. In particular, those who were praying behind the scenes. I saw the Holy Spirit knitting the team together in a very special way. I did feel very inadequate in relating to the Hindu children, but you all completed what I was missing. Thank you for each of you, both at the scene and behind the scene. This is verbatim, the text. And that's beautiful. The church can come together to meet the need. Maybe by yourself we cannot do it alone, but we can come together as a team. I still remember another couple. I'm just going to call in R&A, and many of you know who they are. When they first got exposed to Feed My Lambs, they saw the great need, and they had compassion. So they began to get involved more and more, and they kept going back. So what we need to do is to go out, to be there, to be the church to those who need to see Christ in their real life struggles. It's very good that we come to church every Sunday, but we also need to go to be the church in the neighborhood and community where they need it. Today is Father's Day. What is the best gift we can give to our Heavenly Father or to our Lord Jesus? As a church, let's ask this question. Whom can we be a neighbor to? Whom can we be a neighbor to? In Matthew 25, 35 to 36, if we can bring up that passage. Matthew 25, 35 to 36. Jesus gave us a very clear picture. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Who in our community need food? I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. Many of our brothers and sisters, or some of our friends, are sick. There are opportunities there to be a neighbor. I was in prison, and you came to me. There are so many opportunities around us. Let us give our Heavenly Father a gift this week, or on this Father's Day, by stepping out, getting involved. As you go out, God will give you the burden to be a neighbor to those in need, to see, to feel, and to act. As we see in Micah 6:8, if we can bring up that passage, Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the law require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, or say love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. Dear Father, indeed, our Lord Jesus is the true neighbor. He came down from heaven to identify with us in our suffering, and He responded to our needs. May our church and every brother and sister be the neighbor that people need to see in their real life struggles, and may they see the love of Christ through this church, as we abide in Christ's love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.